Amen. Good morning, everyone. That was cute. You can tell who the evangelist is there. The guy in the middle. He's already pointing you to Jesus. All right. So sweet. But you know, that's so true about that. These little things, just do it in the name of the Lord. You know, I was over at Ted's earlier this week, and we were having some coffee and scones, and we were chatting about the future and things like that for the church and myself and things. And then he brought out a little nugget that you can forget. You know, these little nuggets you can forget really easy. And we're not sure how everything's going to unfold for the bigger and the better, but we can still give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And that may take a lot of different forms. But I was thinking, the day before that, like on Monday, we thought we had everything all set for Monday mornings, you know, who was going to handle everything. And well, sometimes your plans get delayed a little bit. And so Jamie's been helping us out on Monday mornings. And so I said, you better be ready because I'll probably be here 20 after 9 to pick you up. So I did. But, you know, God's timing and the little cup of cold water, she got this perfume, and it's not cheap perfume, in a basket. And it's been sitting there because, you know, there's one kind of perfume that I like her to wear, and so she'll wear it because I like it. And then there's one type of cologne that I have that because she likes it. So you don't do things for yourself, you do things for everybody else. But we also realize that, you know, certain colognes and perfumes on skin, everybody's skin is a little different, and it just does not work, you know. So she had this, and then she got some hairspray from her salon. And if you knew who her stylist was, this is not cheap hairspray, but she could not stand the odor of it, the smell of it. And she's been wanting to bring this every Monday since we started. And she kept forgetting. And last Monday she said, you know, I'm bringing it today. So we went down the suicide stairs there, as we call it. We come in. We park in the back so we got our clients can park in the front. So we go downstairs and... it's like, okay, we had a lot of people here last Monday, a lot of people. Anyways, there was a lady, and I never really paid much attention. There was a lady there, and all I could see was the back of her T-shirt. It was a really wrinkled T-shirt, and it had Volunteer Big Valley 1999 on. That's all I saw. I don't think she combed her hair that day or anything. And so Jamie goes up and starts talking to her, and you know, it's like, here's perfume and here's some hairspray. And the lady said, I haven't been able to buy perfume for over 15 years. And I have a person I want to smell good for. God's timing. And she took the hairspray, and I think she probably went home and got her hair all washed and looked really nice, and for whoever her special someone was. But it's a cup of cold water can take many, many different forms. But it's a little act of kindness. We can't always do the bigger, but we can do something. What do you have in your hand that maybe somebody can use? You know? And this woman was blessed last week. Anyways, we've been talking about that. We talk about the mustard seed, and we talk about the cup of cold water. But that is just the way it goes. God, yeah, it's just amazing what God does and how he does it and when he does it. Yeah. Anyways, praise the Lord. Thank you for all of you. If you didn't get, there's a number of these folders at the back for Cliff Dreger. And thank you again to everyone who helped yesterday. It's a long weekend, we realize that, and the place was jammed here yesterday, and then they set up 8 tables downstairs, and the family brought dessert, And we had a great time together. Nobody wanted to go home, it seemed like. So I said to Jamie, well, there's enough people here with keys. I think it's time for us to go home. So we did. Amen. Great. just a little bit of information. You know, they put me on this FCA scholarship. That's Tuesday night. But what's the heritage? This heritage, so that every convention, you know, we mention not only those and honor those who are still living, but we remember those who've passed on the year before. So I'm on this thing. I got to keep track of everybody who dies, and it's like. It's like, what? So, anyways, it's in Toronto. It's going to be in Toronto next May. So start saving your shekels, and you'll be able to get there. So just to let you know, some of you, does anybody remember Donna and Wilfred Kent? Dr. Kent. Sam, and yeah, okay. He passed away 3 days after David Reimer passed away. His wife passed away not that long after Hilda passed away in 2003. But they did marriage seminars all over the place. And very helpful to many, many, many people. So he passed away. And then, does anybody remember Maureen Gilardi? I'm getting old. Maureen Gilardi was the pastor of Glad Tidings Tabernacle in Vancouver for a gazillion years. She was also a council person on Vancouver Council for, 20 years or whatever it was. And I remember going to, as a kid, going to Glad Tidings Tabernacle in Vancouver because I thought it was really unusual because, like, you know, this is the way you should enter a church. You come from the sidewalk and you go in, but no, that Glad Tidings Tabernacle had the door on the corner. It just, I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought that was really interesting as a kid. It was a big church, a great big church, but she pastored there for years. She was on TV for years. I don't think she's ever married. She had an associate, and of course, she had a pretty good pension, I think, from being a counselor in Vancouver. But anyways, she just passed away. I'm trying to think of... she was in her 90s, anyways. She retired in Hawaii. And she had a caregiver from Taiwan. I don't know the name, but looking after her. But she passed away. And it's so cute because the story goes on to say that she had this little Maltese dog. And he didn't know what else to do. But he wrapped his tail around her wrist as she went to be with Jesus. So sweet. God's creation is so awesome, isn't it? Does anybody remember Flying Phil Gilardi? Yeah. There's a square in Kamloops named after him. He was the minister of the Department of Highways, I believe it was, in B.C. And he was Social Credit Party. They had enough seats to hold a minority government, but they didn't have a leader. So he went to put his name down for leadership, but he lost to W.A.C. Bennett. But I think he had more traffic tickets than anybody else. So they called him Flying Phil. Back in the late 70s, in the mid-70s, in Pentecostal Assemblies Conference in B.C., it was in the Okanagan. He was a preacher, too. And, of course, everybody, no. Christians don't speed. They just make good time, right? So I was at this conference listening, and he was quite the speaker, I'll tell you. And it was interesting. I don't remember what he talked on or anything else, but I think he spoke as fast as he drove. And it was all good. Anyways, now you're up as far as I know for everybody who's died this last week. But today we're going to talk about rock solid, and we're going to stay on the idea of a covenant. Now, you've heard me say this scripture a lot lately. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Got to keep our eyes focused on him. And that's just the way it is. So just to share with you a few of these scriptures, I've been reading it through Hebrews chapter 12 because it's full of the covenant, full of the new covenant. And it starts with Jesus. The beginning of Hebrews talks about Jesus being the exact representation of God. This is who he is. So anyways, the writer of Hebrews says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying to that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's not the mountain we're coming to. Amen? And I'm glad we don't. And we, religion likes to take you back to that mountain in fear and trembling and death. But that's not the mountain we're coming to. But you have come to Mount Zion. So you got Mount Sinai and you got Mount Zion, and we can pick which one we want to go to. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. There are so many ways you can go with this in the book of Hebrews and in regards to the covenant, but I want to just concentrate this morning for a few moments and remind you about the center point of this whole conversation, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So Mount Sinai, in this context, is God bringing, is in the midst of God bringing his people out of bondage in Egypt. Remember, they had been there for 400 years. He was bringing them out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Remember all the plagues and everything. He judged the gods of Egypt and the people of Egypt. It's at Mount Sinai where Moses received the Ten Commandments. But Mount Sinai could not bring you life. And the law could not bring you life. But then we go to what we're emphasizing this morning, and is Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And those are the three names that are kind of given to the whole idea of Mount Zion. And now Paul uses the same kind of analogy in Galatians chapter 4, talking about the two mountains. And Mount Sinai represents the children of the slave woman. And Mount Zion, represents those of the free woman. And we are children of the free woman. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. We are not going to be condemned by law. We're free from sin. And he's saying, the Galatians, why do you want to live like children of the bondwoman? Do you want to bring me some water? We are free. This is the city of the living God. I forget how dry it gets up here. Thank you. Thank you. All right. And so the writer to Hebrews announces many, many things here. And I'll just go over them really quickly. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You have come to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men. You have come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better, a better word than the blood of Abel. I just want to remind you today that this covenant is a solid rock. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. You know, in the, and Sam, you might be able to correct me on this. I believe in the late 70s, early 80s, the church at Steinbeck bought a little Piper aircraft for a bush pilot missionary up north. And so he would take people back and forth. And there, I believe the flight was between Tuktoyaktuk and Inuvik, because I think the hospital was in Inuvik. So he had a nurse and he had a mother and her infant. And they were flying and they ran into a storm and the plane went down and all were lost. But I remember somebody sharing at the conference, this was his favorite song. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth hear his voice, let the wind and the waves praise the Lord. Let the flowers in bloom, let the birds sing their tune, let the skies up above praise the Lord. Oh, what a day to be alive. What a day to be his child. Praise God, I'm reconciled to the Father. And if all my possessions are taken away, it would still be a wonderful day. Everything was taken away, but he had that hope in the Lord. On Christ, the solid rock, he stood. And even though there is great loss, it's not cheap to replace an aircraft, and I don't know what all happened back then, but, you know, and there's no time for anybody to get from Steinbeck to Inuvik, because they bury everybody within one day. And that's just the way they do things up there. And so, but praise the Lord for the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Therefore, if anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them, this is from Matthew, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it's had its foundation on the rock. Remember, your foundation is on the rock. Don't get easily distracted by anything that's happening out there today. Don't care where it is or how it is or what it is. Doesn't matter whether it's sickness, finances, relationship, whatever it is. Your feet are still on a solid rock, and that's important. Don't let anything distract you. Matthew 21:42. I just never know how this is going to end up here on the sheet. Jesus said to them, did you never read this in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You are on a solid rock. Don't step off, because there's no other place to go. All right, let's try this again. And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. The psalmist said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Amen. Because, what's that chorus we sing? I'm standing on the rock. Amen. We're standing on the rock. And all drank from the same spiritual rock, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock is Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the exact radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Sustain all things by his powerful word. All right. 1 Peter 2:6, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed when you stand on the solid rock. prayer box, please. Yes. Amen. There's nothing there. Okay. Well, will you stand with me and we'll pray and then we'll take a short break and then we'll turn it over to Ted and he's going to share with us some more good things this morning. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your peace, your health, and your strength. We thank you, Lord, that we can rely upon the rock. And the rock is solid. It's not a split rock. It's not a fractured rock. It's a solid rock. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord God, today that we can rely upon the rock Christ Jesus. And we realize that we have a living stone, we have a living God, and we have a living Savior that has given us a brand new covenant, which is totally awesome. Thank you for your blessing upon your people this day. We pray for those who cannot be here today and for those who may be traveling on this first long weekend. We thank you, Lord God, that you bless them with safe trips. We bless, pray, Lord, that as families get together, these are going to be great times around the supper table and around the dinner table and the lunch table and whatever kind of table we call it, might be the coffee table. But we're thankful, Lord, that wherever we gather together, you're in the midst, and we give you glory and praise. And we thank you for Ted, Lord. We thank you for your blessing upon him as he shares with us this day. In thy name, amen.